Perhaps we can start by singing 174. Somebody can help me start it, please.
Spotless one, our hearts in meekness pray to bear thy yoke and learn of thee, that we may rest
God and our Father, we thank thee for this opportunity to open thy word and to learn from it. We now ask for grace as we speak for the speaker, and we just ask for clarity. And we ask, Father, that we may be focused on him, on the Lord Jesus, and that he may produce in us a thankful heart, a worshiping heart, and a heart of service in our lives. We ask for help as we do so, Father, as we open thy word. In the precious name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, amen. Before I start, I wanted to talk a little bit about ministry this afternoon. And things that are of help to me and that I have enjoyed. And before I do, I'd like to know which ones of you are in the ministry. So I'd like to see a show of hands, please. How many are in the ministry? Okay. Yesterday, I was talking to Brother Josh Stewart. And he actually mentioned a verse to me in 1 Timothy 4:6. And I'd like to start with that verse. 1 Timothy 4:6. It says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." And I enjoyed what Brother Josh had to say in terms of bringing in remembrance. And he mentioned that we do not have to bring something new, but bring something into the remembrance of the brethren. And that's my intention tonight. My intention is not to bring things that are new, but just to bring to your remembrance and to my remembrance this thing. And I'd like to pass to another chapter in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Colossians 4:17. say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. So Archippus must have been a very special brother, right? Because he was given a ministry of the Lord, and he had to fulfill it. What does the word ministry mean? Somebody can help me. Brother Tim, would you like to help me?
Service.
And that's why I started asking you who is in the ministry. And Brother Tim raised his hand. And Brother Tim Roach raised his hand. And you probably think, well, they are in the ministry. Because Brother Tim has been in Malawi, in Africa. Brother Tim Roach does the camp, the work of the camp, and so on. They must be in the ministry, so it's right for them to raise their hands. The truth is that we have all been given a gift from the Lord. And if we have all been given a gift from the Lord, we are all, or should all be, in the ministry. Ministry is service, like Brother Tim just said. And ministry is just exercising the gift that the Lord has given you. And let's just read one verse in 1 Peter 4, verse 10. First Peter 4, verse 10 says, as every man hath received, and it should be a gift, as every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister. So, The book that I have, or the chapter rather, that I have in mind is in the Old Testament. And like I said, I'm not going to share anything new, but I like to remember the things that we have learned from others. In Judges chapter 6, we see some examples of the life of Gideon. And we see how the Lord prepared him for the ministry. But first, we're going to read the first verses and see what the condition was in the times of Gideon. And we will just read a few portions of chapter 6 and chapter 7 and just glean what's pertinent to ministry here. Judges 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So that was the condition of the children of Israel in the time of Gideon. It was not a time of prosperity. It was a time difficult time in Israel, where there was no food for the people of Israel. And we live in similar times. We come, thanks the Lord, we have places that we can come like this camp and we can nourish ourselves spiritually. But the world is a dry place. And we see that the Israelites were scattered from their inheritance. They were in the dens and the caves of the earth. And there was a spiritual malnutrition. They did not have food. And I'll jump the next part, which is the prophet of the Lord coming. But the Lord sends a prophet. And this is interesting because when the prophet comes, the prophet doesn't say, you will get deliverance. He just says, you have disobeyed the Lord. I release you from your... We'll just read a few verses in verse 8. The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So this prophet was different. He's not telling about anything in the future. He's telling them, as from the Lord, that they have not obeyed his voice. And then we find in verse 11 that an angel of the Lord sat under an oak, which is in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So we see that Gideon was, it says, it should be in the winepress. So he's threshing wheat. And not being from the countryside, I don't know exactly how to thresh wheat. But I've watched some videos, so I have an idea. It takes a lot of effort and to do it by hand. You have to hit it with a hammer or hit it with something, hit it on the floor, thread something on top of it, and then you have to separate the grain from the chaff, and it takes a lot of effort and energy. And the first thing that Gideon had was that he was put in an effort to threshing wheat. And wheat in the scriptures talks about the Lord Jesus. It talks about his person and his work. And he found a place where he could do so. What were the others doing? They were hiding in the dens. They were hiding in the caves. But Gideon said, I will have something to eat for myself and for my family. And that's what the Lord looks in us. If we want to be in the ministry, and again, the ministry is anything that the Lord has called you for. What does the Lord wants you to do? The Lord has given you a gift. And has given every one of us a gift. And it may not be a public gift. It may not be something public. It may be something that you may do from one to one or in private. But yet it is important to the Lord. The sisters have a gift, the same as the brothers have a gift. And the Lord has placed each member of the body, and each member of the body has a function. And I know that the Apostle Paul did not talk about the internal organs, but he makes reference to it when says that there are many members. There are many members. And he talks about the ones that we can see, like the hands or the nose or the eyes. But he makes reference to the ones that we cannot see. And if I say, well, the hands are very important because I can handle things with my hands. But what about the heart? And the kidneys and the lungs. You don't see them working, but yet they have a vital function. And without them, the body does not work, to say the least. The body cannot cannot live without them, without the heart or the lungs and so on. And there are many members among us that are private, they're not public, and yet they're vital in their function, in the function that they do. And it is necessary that we all exercise the gift that the Lord has given us. And in the case of Gideon, he was concerned about getting something from the Lord. So it all starts from the Lord. The gift is something that the Lord has given us. It's not my natural ability. It's a gift that the Lord has given me. And the first thing that we see in Gideon is that he had, he wanted to feed himself with the things of the Lord. If we don't feed ourselves from the Word of God, we cannot help others. And then if we keep reading, and for the sake of time, I'll just touch upon some verses. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon must have thought, well, all I'm doing is threshing wheat. How am I a mighty man of valor? Well, he had a couple of things that were to note. The first thing is that he wanted to feed himself of the things of the Lord, of Christ in type. And the second one is that, as we're going to read in the following verse, he cared for the people of God. It's not so much what he was capable of doing. The Lord wants us to care. First, to feed ourselves from the Lord, and then to care for his people. And the Lord will use us. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So the first thing is that he was caring for the people of God. Then he also identified himself with the people of God. He says, us. Why then is all this befallen us? He did not accuse his brethren. He says, well, I am doing all right. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but look at my brethren. They're hiding in dens and caves. They're not doing what they're supposed to. He doesn't say that. He says, befallen us. And if we do not feel the times that we're in, if we do not feel that the church is in a state of decay, if we do not feel that we're part of it. We're part of that condition the church has. If we feel that we are the ones that are correct, then we're not going to be able to help our brethren. And the Lord tells him to go in that might. And the Lord never asks us to go in our might. It is His might. It is His strength. And Gideon understood that. He understood that he did not have strength in himself. He says, my family is the least of the tribe of Manasseh. And my tribe is the least in Manasseh. And my family is the least in my tribe. And he understood that. But the Lord says that he makes, in weakness, his strength is shown. And then in verse 16, And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So it is the Lord that makes the difference. If we fill ourselves with the things of the Lord, then something will come out from our hearts. And the first thing that should come out of our heart is not service. Even though what I'm talking today, I'm talking about today is service. What should come from our heart is thankfulness for what the Lord has done for us, is worship. And that's what comes out of Gideon's heart, as we'll see in the following verses. In verse 18, he says that, "Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee." And he said, "I will tarry until thou come again." So the Lord puts in his heart something to do, and that is to deliver the people of God. And he says, "I will be with you. I will be your strength. Just go in this, your might." And Gideon understands that it is the Lord that is sending him. And what comes out of his heart is worship. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and 11 cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Take the flesh and the 11 cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth." So what we have learned from this, from others, is that Gideon had a heart that could be corrected. He was a man that, when he was corrected, he did not get mad. And we all make mistakes, and we all start our path, and we make mistakes as we do so. And if a brother comes and he wants to help us because we perhaps did not lay out something as clear, or perhaps we made a mistake clearly in something that we said or did, we should be humble enough to say, "Yes, brother, that is so as you say." And it should not discourage us from going on. And I say this to myself and also to my younger brethren here. As you are, and you should be in the ministry, that you do not think that because you make a mistake, you should be discouraged. But we need one another, and we need our older brethren to help us in the path. And the mistake here that Gideon made was that when the Lord, he said, "I will bring something to offer to you." And it says that he brought cakes of an ephah flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot. The Lord never gave directions about bringing broth into a sacrifice. It was something that Gideon thought would be a good idea. And sometimes we think some things are a good idea. And the angel of the Lord corrected him, but in a way that Gideon felt that it was the angel of the Lord. And he corrected him in a way that he understood that. And says, he said, "Take the flesh and the 11 cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth." Just throw it away is what he's saying. And he did so. And then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the 11 cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the 11 cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed of his sight. So the Lord takes the things that we bring, and I believe that something like that was mentioned this morning. A brother said that he is the gardener. He picks the flowers. Sometimes we bring something that is not what the Holy Spirit wants, and he chooses what he wants. There's a story of a mother that fell sick. I'm not sure if I have it all right, but I'll say it the way I know it. And she was in the hospital, and her boy wanted to bring her flowers. So he brought a bunch of flowers from the field, and it came with with thorns and everything you can think of, in addition to the flowers. And then he gave it to the nurse and said, "These are for my mom." And the nurse took the flower bunch, and she took out everything that was not good. She just left the flowers there, and she She cut them to a size that was the right size and all that. She put everything together and she brings it to the mother and says, your son brought you this. And that's what the Lord does with us too. But He does correct us. And we should be learning from Him and also from our brethren as they do. And then we see that Gideon builds an altar to the Lord. In verse 24. And that is something that the angel of the Lord suggested to him. Verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. So I believe we all know the story, so I won't read all of it. But what happens is that the angel of the Lord tells him to do something. Before he goes to battle, before he's able to fight the Midianites, he's to start in his own community, if I can call it that. He is to point out to the Abiezrites, his own clan, something that was wrong. They had fallen into idolatry. And it takes courage to point certain things out. And the thing that he was going to point out was something in his own family. It was his own dad that had this in his house. And it was the altar of Baal that thy father had. Throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had. That's a hard thing to do. Because we tend to excuse our family. We tend to... Sometimes we're able to say something to those that are a little distance from us. But our family is a little bit harder to do so sometimes. And he takes a stand, and he was afraid. And he does it by night. And he takes down the altar of Baal that was in his father's house. And the Abiezrites, which were his clan, they come and they ask about the person that has done this. But let's notice that he did not only do that. He did cut the Baal down, but the Lord asked him to do something first. It says, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old. And verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the order place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. So he was going to cut something down, but he was going to point them to the right thing, which is the second bullock. The second man, which is the Lord Jesus. And he was going to point them to what they had left. They had left the Lord, and they had gone to the Baal. And whenever we point something that is negative in our brethren, we should point to the Lord Jesus. We should point their hearts to Him. If we just leave the things that are sinful in our lives, and just leave them because they and just put them aside and don't go to the Lord and don't fill ourselves with the Lord, we will be empty. Is displacing those things, even those things that are not sin in themselves, in order to fill ourselves with Christ. And they misunderstand Him when in the morning they say, who has done this? And they want to kill Him. And many times when we try to do something for the Lord, we may not do it perhaps in the right way, and our brethren may misunderstand it. And they may say, they may not think that we're trying to do something good for them and for the Lord. But something happens, and as we know the story, we know that Joash, his father, Gideon's father, he recognizes this. And he stands by Gideon and he says, If Baal is a god, let him defend himself. And what he did, first convinced his father. And then at that moment, the Midianites come. And the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon. And he blows the horn. And the same Abiezrites that were against him, they gather to him. And that's what happens when we go on for the Lord. We may be misunderstood at first, but if we go on for Him, the Lord will change the hearts of our brethren. And the part that I wanted to emphasize now is in chapter 7. We have seen the things that Gideon had that were good things for the service of the Lord. But there are certain things in chapter 7 that disqualify those that were following Gideon. And I'd like to note those. We know that Gideon blows the trumpet. And let's read that verse. In chapter 6. Verse 34. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. So the call was to all these people. And each one of us has been called to do something for the Lord. And if we feel that the Lord has called us to do something, then our hearts should be disposed to do the things that the Lord has asked us to do. But there are certain things that may hinder us from serving the Lord. And that's what we will see in chapter 7. We will come back to chapter 6 just for a little bit in verse 36. It says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. So the people was in such a state that the Lord did not want them to go, all of them. And if you think about it, there were not that many. There were like 30 plus thousand. We'll see that in the following verses. There were 32,000, I believe. And the problem was that their heart was not right with the Lord. And the Lord could not use them. And so the Lord, there was a proclamation that says, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him return. Wasn't Gideon fearful and afraid before? Apparently Gideon stayed, right? So it was more than just having fear. I believe that we're all fearful at some point. But I believe that this is in reference to something that was commanded by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 20. If we can go there just for a minute. And it is a test to the heart. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. So there's a promise there that the Lord will be with you. So as I was reading this, I was thinking, but the second part doesn't make sense. But it is really, in my understanding, a test to the heart. Because then the officers say, verse 5, and the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that has built a new house, has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. Didn't the Lord say in the prior verses that he will save them? That he will be against their enemies? And that they should not fear? It says, do not be afraid. Why is he then giving them liberty to go to their houses? I don't think it's liberty. The Lord is testing their hearts. The Lord is giving them a promise. But they are not holding, they're not taking hold of those promises. And that's why he says, lest he die. Didn't the Lord say that he will be with them? If they held those promises, they should not have to worry about their vineyards or the field that they just purchased or the house that they just built or the wife that they just married. Those things are necessary. And the Lord knows that they are necessary. But the Lord tests our hearts, and He wants us to trust Him. It's a matter of trust. It's not looking upon ourselves. The Lord never asks us to do something with our own strength. He first gives us something, and He says, use that. Walk according to what you are. He never asks us to gain our salvation. He says, you're saved. Now walk according to what you are, a child of God. He gives us all the armor of God. He gives us all the strength. He gives us all the power that we need. And He says, use it. It's not our own. It's His. But when we look upon ourselves and we measure our own strength with the strength of the enemy, then we faint. And in connection with that, we can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. But I would have you without carefulness. So all these things are necessary. And the apostle is not saying that we should be careless about our wives or the things that we that the Lord has put in our hands. That's not the point. But the point is that if there's something that is an obstacle in our lives, because our heart are focusing on those things rather than on the Lord, then they are a hindrance for our service. And the Lord says, go back. Go back. So if we go back to our chapter, verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Verse 4 of chapter 7. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink, and the number of them that lapped, put in their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So if you imagine those that remained, so the first ones were 32,000. And it says that 20 and 2,000 were fearful, and they returned. And there remained 10,000. Weren't all called? Didn't Gideon send to all these places and send messengers and say, come, let's fight the Midianites? And they came. But there was something that hindered them. And there is something that may hinder us in our service for the Lord as well. And this second thing here is where the majority of people, the majority of us, I think, are at fault. There were 10,000 people in the water, and then the Gideon said, drink water. And the water, in this case, talks about the refreshment and the temporary provisions that the Lord had for them before they went to battle. And we see that the majority of them, 9,700 people, they bowed down and they drank water right from the river and they put their heads down. And what happens, even the animals do this, some are lifting their head up and some are drinking down because they cannot bring the water up to their mouth. So we see the majority of people here, of 9,700 people, drinking water and putting their face, their head down in the water. What would happen if the enemy comes? They would be surprised by the enemy. And 300 were taking the water and bringing the water to their mouth. And that talks about the things that the Lord has left us, has provided for us here for refreshment. The things that He has given us as a provision are that. They are a mercy from the Lord. But if they are our complete focus, we lose the main point, that is to serve the Lord. And this 300 were willing to do that. And they served the Lord. And they were willing to serve the Lord in a way that was not, they were not even seen when they were serving the Lord. Because when Gideon said, do what I do, they had a trumpet in one hand and they had a lamp on the other hand. And they were in darkness. They were not seen. And When the Lord gave the Midianites in their hands, the credit went to the Ephraimites. They got more credit in their eyes, and they were not in the spotlight, if you want to call it that. But the Lord wants to use us if we are willing to do that. We don't need to be in the spotlight as long as we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And I want to go back a little bit on that note to chapter 6 and verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So, what we have learned from this is that we should be ready, even when everything else is dry around us. In the case of Gideon, he said, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand. So the fleece, I understand it to be Gideon himself. Even though everything else was dry around, Gideon wanted to bring blessings for the people of the Lord. Even if everything is dried around us, we could still be a blessing for the people of the Lord. And that's what the dew speaks of. A blessing. And it says it was wrong, and a cup full of water was brought up. And that was refreshment for the people of the Lord. And sometimes it takes the ringing. The Apostle Paul was consumed by the service of the Lord. And it was because he loved the Lord. But it takes effort. And it takes willingness. But it's not your own strength. It's not my own strength. And then the second attempt, the second test that he does with the fleece, is also interesting. And in this case, he doesn't say, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand. This is the opposite of that. It says, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak unto but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So the fleece was dry, and the ground was wet. That talks about, even if the Lord was not going to save Israel by Gideon's hand, even if the dew did not come through Gideon, even if the dew does not come through us, we should be happy that the ground has dew. We should be grounded that there is blessing for our brethren, even if it's not through us. If it comes from another way, then we should be happy. That's part of the service of the Lord. If we're serving the Lord, it shouldn't be that we think that it needs to be through us. If the Lord wants to use another brother, we should be happy with that. And just to conclude, I know we have only a few minutes. I was thinking of the way that the Lord works with us. And I know that a few of you noticed this morning that there was a bald eagle on the yard. And that reminded me of something of a scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 32. In connection with what we have here, that the Lord does work with us to prepare us for His service. Deuteronomy 32. find the verse. Verse 11. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock." So I was thinking of what this means from the scripture. As many of you know, the eagle makes a nest, and it has branches and thorns and sometimes small rocks. And then she covers that with the feathers and makes it very comfortable. And then she lays her eggs, and her young are born there. And her young are very comfortable with all that feather. But after a while, they need to fly. And they don't want to. And because they are very comfortable. And what the eagle does, as it says here, it stirs up her nest. It takes the feathers away and it flutters her nest. And all that fluffy stuff leaves the nest. And they now feel uncomfortable. Before they were afraid, you know, they look down, they're even afraid of the heights because they're not ready to fly. But when they feel uncomfortable, then they actually jump out and they don't fly. What happens is that they try, and then the eagle goes under them and catches them and brings them back again, and they have to try again. And that's why it says, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord does not leave us, but he wants to train us. He wants to train us for his service. And overall, he wants us to be more like his son. The goal of the Father is that we are more like his son. Even from down here, we will see him as he is when we are in heaven. When we meet him in the clouds. But he wants us to be like him even from now. And he works with us for that purpose. If we look at an eagle doing that, plucking all the feathers out and making their young ones uncomfortable, we don't think, oh, that's a bad eagle. Look what it's doing to his young ones. We don't think about that. We say, well, there's a purpose. But when the Lord does that to us, we complain and we don't think there's a purpose. We say, well, look what's happening to me. Or look what's happening to that brother. The Lord has a purpose for each one of us. And he does things to teach us. And as he did with Gideon, he corrected him. But he also showed him that he works... weakness is what he uses. When we feel ourselves weak, then he can use us. And he's able to use us in such a manner that we are honorable to him. If we are not, if we're thinking that we're something, then we cannot serve him. I was speaking to Brother Dave also about his trips to India. And he was mentioning about caste. And he said that a caste, when they throw a paper on the ground and they expect the lower caste to pick it up because they feel so important. But he was saying the Christians, you see a leading brother, he's serving water to the other one. How different that is from where they come from. It's totally different. Christianity is totally different. And the Lord came to serve us. And he made himself so that he will serve us for all eternity. He is serving us now. He came to serve us when he came to die on the cross. He's serving us now, interceding for us. And he will serve us then. It is a wonderful thing to think of, but very sobering too. How is it that our Lord is going to serve us? And that should, it should flow from our hearts. First worship and then service for Him. That we should be, that we should dedicate our lives to Him. And that we should put, we should do whatever He has given us to do. Because if we are a member of the body of Christ, we have a gift that is from the Lord. And to conclude, we could sing number 46 in the back. But before we do that, I'd like to ask the same question I asked before. How many of you are in the ministry? I'd like to see some hands. Thank you. We could sing 46 if somebody can help me. God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, which speaks to us and which teaches us. We ask, Father, that our eyes and our hearts may be on Him that save our souls, Lord Jesus Christ. and that we may be focused on Him, that He may be the object of our affections, and that our occupation with Him may produce in our a life of worship and of service, that we may be waiting for His coming, and while we wait for His coming, we may serve Him, that Thou may work in our hearts, that we may do so. Thou hast given each one of us something to do, Father. We ask that each one of us may do so. Help us. As we cannot do it on our own strength, but we help us to focus on Thee so that we may get hold of the provisions that Thou hast given us and be able to serve Thee. We ask for the remaining part of the day, and we ask for the remaining stay that we have here at camp. And we ask for continuous blessing and fellowship, and that we may have the things of Thy things in our hearts and in our minds. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.